Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Today, we're honored to have Dean Baker, leading economist, be with us on the air.
Yeah,
and Mike's going to tell you a little bit about it. Mike Cosentino's here with me.
Yeah. Hey, Steve. Dean Baker has written extensively on the bubble economy over the last 10 years or so. And he was one of the first economists to recognize that the stock bubble and the housing bubbles, and he warned of the risk of their collapse. He was previously a senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute and a consultant to the Joint Economic Committee of the U.S. Congress. He is now co-directs and has established the Center for Economic and Policy Research in Washington, D.C. He blogs at the American Prospect. He's written some articles with fascinating titles. What do you got there, Steve? You got those?
Will Romney lie his way to the White House?
I like that one.
And the housing bubble, what Greenspan should have done. I guess where we wanted to talk, start with Dr. Baker, is talking a bit about where we are now. Assuming all this stuff has happened, the housing bubble, the collapse, massive impact here in northern Arizona. Where are we now economically, and what should we be doing to improve the situation for the American people?
Well, we're basically in a situation where the economy fell off a cliff in 2008, 2009. We lost on the order of 7 million jobs, and we continued to more or less stagnate through 2009. 2010, we started to create a small number of jobs, and that's picked up a little bit. But basically, we're still down about 10 million jobs from where we should be. And we're in a situation where the economy is growing, but not really growing fast enough to lower the unemployment rate. We're creating somewhere around 140,000 jobs a month. We need about 100,000 jobs a month just to keep pace with the growth of the labor force. So this is very weak growth. It's keeping pace with the growth of the labor force. This would be fine if we're sitting around the unemployment rate as 4.5% as it was before the downturn. But given when we have this huge backlog of unemployed workers, some of them given up looking for work altogether, many people working part-time, this isn't very good. And I should point out, when we look at the drop in the unemployment rate, we peaked at, I think it was 10.1 back in 2010, and now it's 8.5%. Almost all of that is due to people dropping out of the labor force. It's people giving up looking for work. You only count as being unemployed if you're actively looking for work. And after you've been looking for work for 2 years and haven't found anything, a lot of people give up. So we aren't seeing that unemployment rate come down because unemployed workers are getting jobs, at least not to any significant extent. Almost all the drop in the unemployment rate has been due to people simply giving up looking for work. So I consider the current picture pretty bleak. I mean, you could always say it could be worse. Economy is growing, the unemployment rate's moving down, however slowly and for not very good reasons. But, you know, this is a really bad picture, and you're talking about a lot of people suffering, and I would say really needlessly, just basically because folks in Washington didn't know what they're doing in terms of economic policy.
Doctor, one of your recent articles dealt with stimulus, non-stimulus, and the economists in 2008 called it. Let me start again. The Obama backed off of the stimulus and kind of went to deficit reduction on erroneous information. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, you know, the memo recently was released in a New Yorker article that was written by Larry Summers, who he wasn't yet. He became the president's head of his National Economic Council. This was written back in the fall of 08 before President Obama had yet been sworn in. So at that point, he wasn't yet his head, although he'd already been designated. But in any case, he was giving, you know, various options, and he discussed where the economy was, where they expected it to go. And they were way too optimistic. Now, in fairness to them, they were basically giving the consensus forecast. If you look at the forecast given, you know, December of 2008 when they wrote this, they were probably pretty much right in the middle. But they projected that if they didn't do anything, if they just, there was no stimulus,
right,
they just let the economy run its course, the unemployment rate would never get above 9%.
And it went up to 10%.
with the stimulus. That's right. So even with the stimulus, it crossed 10%. And this happened, I should point out, you know, you have Republicans or people don't like the stimulus. They want to blame the stimulus. This happened before the stimulus even did anything. You know, the economy at that point was in pretty much a free fall. It was losing 700,000 jobs a month. So you really can't tell a credible story that this was somehow the fault of the stimulus. It happened before the stimulus was even passed, for the most part.
I see.
So anyhow, what I see as the big issue here is that clearly the world had shifted from where they thought they were, but they continued with the policy that was based on, you know, the downturn not being that bad.
Right.
And so what happened was they got their stimulus. They knew it was less than what they needed. But rather than saying, okay, you know, this was a good start, you want to take credit for it, because, you know, obviously you had to fight to get it through Congress. They only had a couple votes to spare in the Senate. So, you want to take credit for it, but he should have said, at least in my view, he should have said, this isn't enough, it's a good start, we're likely going to need more. Instead, he began touting the recovery. You might recall the line, green shoots of recovery,
right.
When we're still losing 400,000 jobs a month. And then he said, well, we're going to focus now on deficits. So he just totally lost control of the debate.
And wasn't that politically expedient? I mean, everybody was talking, the other side was talking deficit. So it became, I don't know, political rather than a good economic decision to focus on deficit?
Well, it may have been political at the time. I mean, in retrospect, it doesn't look very good because he's up for re-election with an unemployment rate that's 8.5%, which, you know, no president's been elected with an unemployment rate that high since Franklin Roosevelt. So that doesn't look like it was a very good political choice, at least when it comes to his re-election. It may have gotten knocked him up a little bit in the polls, you know, back in the spring of 2009, because you have so many people in Washington who are obsessed with the deficit. But, in terms of getting him re-elected, people aren't going to vote for him because they think he's a good guy with the deficit. They're going to vote for him if they think he's doing good with the economy.
The debate out here is I think most people thought the important thing is cutting the deficit. That's what you hear out here. You certainly hear it from every Republican in Arizona. And that the stimulus didn't work. And the bigger the stimulus, the worse the results would have been.
Well, at this point, there's a lot of research on the stimulus, and it all pretty much finds the same thing. It finds that the stimulus created about as many jobs as they expected would, 2 to 3 million. Problem was we needed somewhere around the order of 10 to 12 million. So, this is a case where I think President Obama just really has done very poorly in terms of explaining what it was intended to do. And this is all in writing. I mean, now this is 2020, rewriting history in retrospect. This is all you could find it from the first days of his administration. These are public memos. You know, what do we think the stimulus will do? 2 to 3 million jobs. So I think it did that, and, that was clearly not enough. And again, the jobs were lost before he even took office. So, you know, he'd have to be a really bad guy that somehow he made us lose all these jobs before he even came into the White House.
Is the Republican line. The Republican line, when Romney talks, for example, he's using that free fall the first few months that Obama's in office before he's actually even done anything or gotten programs active, and in counting the loss of jobs during the Obama administration.
Yeah, and it's, this is just silliness. I mean, I'm perfectly happy for people to criticize President Obama, as I do often. But, let's just be serious about that. He could not have caused we were in this free fall that all began, in the fall of 08 with the collapse of Lehman. And that continued until, the spring of 09. And, maybe Romney thinks he has some magic elixir that could have stopped things. But, this is a process that was in progress at the time he took office. And to blame someone coming in office January 21st for, this free fall that began 4 months earlier, it just doesn't make any sense. But again, it would have been helpful had Obama focused on what the stimulus was intended to do. It was not large enough, and it was never expected to be large enough to deal with the situation where we lose 10 million jobs. And he just lost sight of that. So as it stood, it was easy for the Republicans to jump up and go, hey, your stimulus didn't work. And, I think he's unfortunately lost that public debate. And I say unfortunate because not just his reelection, that's one thing, but the other thing is we do need stimulus, and not getting it is going to doom the economy to years of slower growth and higher unemployment. This is one of these debates, you just go, how much evidence do I have to beat you up with? And, when I'm saying this, England, the deficit cutters, well, they got it. The UK got a conservative government elected last year, spring of 2010, 2011, they put in a budget with all sorts of cuts, and guess what? Their economy ground to a halt. It's projected to grow 0.6% this year. I think they're talking about 1.6 in 2013.
So you can actually look at what different countries have done to see what works and what doesn't work, or you can simply see what doesn't work. And austerity seems to have deepened the recession over there. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and, you know, you just go, I don't even know what these people are thinking when they say this stuff, because, you know, they say things that you just go, government can't create jobs, so teachers don't have jobs. I don't understand, like, what does that mean? You know, most of the people I know work for a paycheck. If the paycheck is written from, you know, the state of Arizona, they're not willing to work for it. I have no idea what they think they're even saying, but, you know, you go, okay, so we've just laid off 10,000 school teachers or firefighters, whoever it is, so... Are there stores that we think are going to hire people? Oh, that's great. We just had a lot of layoffs. I can go out and hire more people. I don't even understand what they think they're saying. What's the mechanism that if we, you know, reduce our budget deficit by cutting back spending, laying off workers, how is that going to get private businesses to create jobs? I'm literally at a loss to understand.
Well, you're thinking rationally, and it makes a good sound bite, and it's, you know, we're damaging our children and all those other good things that have no basis in reality or reason. But we only have a couple minutes left, and one of the things I'd like to get to, and we might not be able to finish it this time, we might talk about it next time, is the other current issue is the capital gains tax. You know, right now we tax at 15%. You know, should that be raised? Or I was talking to a financial advisor on the way over this morning. We talked about capping. Maybe a compromise position would be put a cap on $100,000 or $200,000. After that much capital gains, then you tax it at a higher rate. What about capital gains? Where should that be taxed or not taxed?
Well, historically, we've had much higher taxes on capital gains. And big reduction in capital gains tax rate was under President Bush. We lowered it to 15%, previously been 20. It had been 28%. That was where President Reagan put it at. So that, you know, we don't think of President Reagan as some big liberal leftist type who wants to confiscate wealth. So, you know, after his tax reform, the 86 tax reform, he proudly signed. It was put at 28%. So I don't see why we think it's important to have a lower tax rate on money that people got from owning stock or owning a business, owning shares in a business, isn't running a business, is it just owning the shares? And, you know, you make a profit on it. I mean, that's fine. I mean, that's the way market economy is supposed to work. But why do you pay a lower tax rate than someone who spent their day working? I really don't understand the rationale.
Phil Romney, for example, hasn't worked in, what, 6 or 7 years, and he's still making $22 million a year from his earlier work, right?
Yeah, and, you know, so, but he's pays 14% tax on it. I think came to 14 and a fraction. And, you know, if you were, you know, working as you know, got that money working job that pays you $22 million, a good paying job, but you know, then you'd be paying, looking at a 35% tax rate, and you know, for the before the Bush tax cuts, 39.6. So I don't quite understand why we feel this need to have a lower capital gains tax rate than tax rate on ordinary income.
We've got 1 minute left, folks. We'll have Dean Baker back with us next week and continuing the discussion. You can hear all our podcasts on our website, vvid.org. And we are going on almost a year now, right, Mike?
That's right.
We have nearly a year's worth of podcasts up there, interviews and our own shows. And we'll be continuing discussion with Dean Baker this next week.
One of the things Dr. Baker's written on extensively is a progressive thought and progressive direction. And next time I want to talk about how progressives need to change maybe to be effective, or at least more effective.
Sounds good to me. All right, folks. Join us next week. We'll continue the discussion. And visit the website. You'll find, if you want to re-listen to Dr. Baker's talk, you can find it there a couple of days after broadcast. You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.